Is everybody happy? Well, that was not as convincing as it could have been. Yes, I don't know that I'm impressed. So, it's hard to be happy, isn't it? You know, and I know it is. And there's so much going on, and aren't you tired of it? You wish it's November? Yeah, I do too. I do too. Let's get it done. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. You know, whichever way it goes. So, what I'm really tired of is I'm tired of the lies and I just want to know what's true. Don't you? Just tell me straight. You know, if this happened, it happened. If somebody's doing this, it's doing that. But all these lies and this garbage, and you come here, and one thing I can guarantee you, I'll do my absolute best. And I've always said this, but it's a good time to reaffirm it. I'll do my best to give you what it says here, and I'll give you points and insights, and I'll dig down and try to give you stuff maybe you have never looked at before. But I'll do my best to not give you my opinion in this word. If it doesn't say it, I'm not going to give it to you. And if I ever step on that thing, for those of you that are newer here, that's why they put Tony's soapbox. Because if suddenly in a message I just get off on something and I step on that, that means you don't have to believe any of it. It's just, that's Tony garbage coming out right there. That's Tony's opinion. But when I step back over here, opinions go. And so that's a commitment I've tried very hard to keep. Nobody, I can't be perfect, but I try to be 99% absolute. If it's in the Word, I'm going to give it to you, and I'll give you the outlines and the notes and everything that you can find for research. What I hope you'll do is take a message that you hear and then research it yourself and read all that happened before and after, because I can't do that here. I have to give you bits and pieces, and then even that takes me longer than you want me to take a lot of times. But I'm actually more of a teacher than anything else, and I teach this. I try to preach it, but I want you to, that's the way God made me, and I want you to really get the depth of stuff and where it's at. And so today we're going to go all the way back to Exodus. That's a long way back. And we're going to look at the relevance of a very familiar text. And as you know, I'm really, God, that's one of the things in my life, that just taking well-known stories and then going in there and saying, here's the real insight on this, and here's what was going on, and the essence of it. And that's fun, isn't it? When you say, whoa, I didn't see that. And that happens to me when I'm studying it. You know, we all know, has everybody here seen the Ten Commandments? Have you seen the movie? Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking, it's a great movie. Cecil B. DeMille outdid himself. However, it's still Hollywood. And a lot of the things in there, they dramatized, and it wasn't exactly like it happened here. Okay? So what we want to look at, and I'm going to grab bits and pieces, but let's start with chapter 3. And why the reason I brought that up is, even studying this, when I first began looking into it, it's easy. In your head, you're seeing scenes in the movie versus what the Scripture's saying. You got to be careful on that. And I had to, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, is that what, the movie showed this, but this is not really what happened. So we're talking about what went on. So we're going to grab it where Moses is out tending the flock. And this is the New Living Translation. It'll read just a little different in this story than you may be used to, but that's okay. We're going to go in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and then I'll have to do a lot of paraphrasing for you to get us into the story. But the insights here are good. Really, they're great. And I pray God help me to bring them to you like He wants them brought. So one day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Okay, we're good so far. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Okay? So we're good. We know that story. And Moses stared in amazement, and though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? And I must go see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. And I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Can't really see God, but when it talks like that in the Hebrew, it means the whatever form God's appearing in, because it says no person can see God actually and live through the experience. But you see God, his angel was there, remember? Who's representative of God in this fire. And so God's speaking to him, but he couldn't even look at the bush to even see a form of God. He couldn't do it. Could you? I don't know what I'd do. Or would you run? Think about it, really. Would you run? If a voice spoke to you from something was happening weird out there you'd never seen before, and a voice spoke from it, would you really just stand there calm? We read this stuff and, you know, but what if you were there? And, you know, this guy's pushing sheep, and suddenly there's this bush, whatever that was, and this shrub, whatever. And all of a sudden, it's ablaze, and it's not consumed. And then you start walking toward it and say, "What in the world?" And then this voice speaks to you. And you're looking, and then you realize it's coming from the bush. Now, I don't know how many of you, I know some of you are on meds today, the reason you had to go on meds is because you thought trees were talking to you, and that's okay. You know, I'd rather for you to have a conversation with a tree than other things in life, so you're safe. But nonetheless, literally what we're looking at here, a tree's talking to the guy. A voice is coming from a shrub, a tree. And he handles it pretty well, better than most of us. But then the Lord told him. He says, "You're on holy ground. It doesn't look holy. This is out in the desert. Nothing here looks holy. There's scorpions. There's all kinds of bad things out there. And it's holy?" Listen to me, friends. What the picture that we're trying to draw here, you need to get. This is not some sanctified place until God appears. This is a rough, rocky, desert place. And think about it. When you say a bush is burning, how many bushes are out there? If you've been in the desert, it's. I'm going to tell you something. Finding a bush in itself is amazing. It's a miracle. And so this whole thing is kind of, it's like, oh, wow, okay. So you find there's a bush, and it's burning. And this nasty, rocky, dry, scorched, parched land is suddenly holy. You say, what are you getting at? Any place God is becomes holy. Whether it's here or a official steep-roofed, steepled place to worship called what we call a church, which is not the church, it's just buildings. You see what I'm saying? In the human mind and in our religious tones for a long time, understanding, we've made places holy and declared them holy because man says they're holy. And people feel sanctified when they walk into certain holy places. And holiness only happens when God appears on the scene. And there are a lot of holy-looking places that have nothing to do with holiness on the inside. But they appear holy. And I've had people tell me, you know, I just walked into that church and I walked into that cathedral and I just felt so holy. And it's like, oh me. I've never felt holy in my life. Have you? I have felt the Spirit, but do I feel holy? I'm holy only because the Scripture says that God's holiness is in me. And the point is this. First of all, the church is not a building. It's not this place, and it's not any steeple place. The church is who? You. Your body is the temple of the living God. There's no other thing, no other temple. People say, we worship at the temple, or we worship at the cathedral, or we worship here, we worship there. I don't care where you worship. That's not the church. The church is you. And you either bring God in here, or you don't. He's sure not standing around here hanging off the rafters waiting for us. You with me? And that's the concept, and that's an American concept of God. We go into some place to find God. And the truth is, we're supposed to be coming to worship because God already found us. And so this nasty rocky place is holy because God has appeared there. And God speaks to him. And he says, I've heard the cries and distress in my people, and they're harsh slave drivers, and I've heard their distress because of them. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. I want you to hear this. Don't miss this stuff. Here's the problem in this experience. We get caught up in the burning bush. This story is not about the burning bush. This story is about standing on holy ground. That's why I like these things. And we get caught up. It's like last week we were talking about Daniel and the lion's den. And we look at the lions. It's not the four-legged lions that was the problem. It was the two-legged lions in his day that threw him in the lion's den that were the problem. That was the story. The focus is what happens to people who hurt God's people. And how God protects his people and delivers them. They may go through stuff, but in the end, those who afflict God's people end up suffering the curse they tried to put on somebody else. The holy ground, all of this happening here. You know, and listen to what it says here. He says, I'm aware of their suffering. What is he saying to you today? You may not feel it. You may not know it. It may be like, man, this whatever's going on in my life has been going on a long time, but I'm telling you, grab these words and apply them to yourself and hear what God's saying. I'm aware of their suffering. He's aware of yours too. Just because you don't see it happening yet doesn't mean that he's not aware. And he has his timing. The people of God had been suffering here a long time. But God knew. And he had a time and a place. And it was all appointed. And he had something for Moses to do. Listen to me. Sometimes things are delayed in your life because God is preparing other people, other times, other circumstances. And he had to be changing the heart of the Pharaoh, which we can't get into today, but we'll do in another message. He was preparing a leader, and he was preparing the heart of Pharaoh to be just what he wanted it to be for Moses, his leader, to go, and it all had to come together. You see it? And so whatever you're going through, you take heart because God is preparing somebody, some things. He's working out the situation, and all the whole thing that you don't know about, you just hang on that God is aware. He knows. And you take heart from that. And God is aware of the violence in streets, violence in cities. God is aware of all the manipulation and the planning and the plotting. And, you know, I hear people call me. I get a lot of calls. Tony, what do you think about it? And do you think about it? You think this is really going on? And is this guy and this guy involved? And yeah. But the real truth is, the only one who knows the real truth is the living God. And it may seem like God is slow in doing something, but let me share this with you just real quick. You need to know this, and I'm not getting on, there's no soapbox. This is, God is doing the same thing there that we talked about last week, and he's doing the same thing we're talking about here. God is exposing what needs to be exposed, and you wouldn't have known a whole lot of this truth had it not come out the way it is. Now you know more about who's behind what and what's really going on and the plots and the planning than you would have ever known. That's how God works. And you need to see God. You say, God's working in it? Yeah, because the truth, you know, keep praying. Really, keep praying. God, expose your enemies. Expose the enemies of the truth. Expose the Antichrist and the anti-God, the anti-church people. And he is. Keep praying it. And he's showing them up. And when we don't get caught up in the media hype of, oh, look at the violence. That's bad. It is. I hate it. But thank God, hey, thank you for letting me see what the truth is out there. I didn't know about this. I didn't know that organization existed. I didn't know this was the way it was, but you do now. And he's exposing it. And if he's exposing it, he's going to deal with it. Watch. He will. You just stay faithful. I got to read this. I'm preaching this and I can't even read the passage. This is so good. I'm going to take notes in a minute. Here we go. So he said, I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the Ites. Listen, it's the Ite land. And so it's the land where all the Ites are living. And he says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. And then please read the rest. Moses protested, blah, blah, blah. And read the first part of this, which I'll talk a little bit about in a moment. Listen to me. What led up to this? They were killing all the Hebrew babies. And Moses' mother hid him because she couldn't hide him anymore when he was born. And she put him in a little basket. She covered it with pitch, tar. And she put it there where she knew. Pharaoh's daughter and all of her attendants came down to sit in the water and their little swimming hole. Okay? And she watched her little baby float along with the current. She knew exactly. And then Moses' sister tags along, watches, and Pharaoh's daughter sees this and sends her attendant to go over and pull him out, and there's a little baby. Now, ladies, let me tell you something. Guys, some of you have some maternal instincts, but the ladies know this situation. Here's two things happening real quick. There's a mother here having to give up a son and also risk that basket sinking in that water. Now, if that basket were to sink, no matter how fast that little girl was to get that basket, that baby's a goner. And she had to risk it all because it was either that or let him be killed. So what do you do? As a mother, she was willing to risk to save her son, her child's life. And look at this. And another woman is there, and when she opens that basket, Pharaoh's daughter, and she sees that, there's not a woman in this room that wouldn't suddenly, it wouldn't make a difference if it's a Hebrew baby or what kind of baby, it's a baby. Now, I don't mean anything by this. It's just the difference. And you know, you can show me baby pictures, and I appreciate them, but somebody, you know, I get shown baby pictures all the time and say, look at this. I was shown one this morning on the way down here. Look at this baby. Uh-huh. Isn't it so cute? Yeah. Well, look at it. Yeah. God, did you see that deer? Look, did you see that axis over there? Sorry, but I mean, that's right. Wait, but you know, and it's like, man, my heart's going 100 miles an hour. Do you see that thing? That's one of the biggest things. That's beautiful. And then, look, that's the baby. Yeah, I see it. You have to feed them, and they smell funny. And you know, and so, you liked that, did you? Okay. But she opened that basket, and you knew what happened. I mean, who would turn that down? You don't care if it's one of these slave babies. And if you study the history of the time, and you go back and you say, what records do we have? And there's not that many, but it seems from what we can find, she couldn't have a child. See what God's doing? See what God's doing? She couldn't have one. So God gave her one. But God had another plan. You see, sooner or later, that's the title of this message, sooner or later. And I had a different message here, but I want to give you this. Past experiences have present purpose. Don't you forget it. Past experiences have present purpose. We start this with Moses out there, and God's in a bush, right? And he's speaking to him through something that would draw Moses to the bush. That's what it was all about. Not the bush. It's what it took to get Moses' attention, to get him over there so God could speak to this man, put him on holy ground, and help him to realize now he's in contact with the holy God, by the way, who had murdered a man for many years ago. But he lost touch with that. And God's bringing him back. But he's drawn out of the water, and here's what God's doing. He was raised in a home where he became a prince of Egypt. He got an education from the Egyptians. He learned everything there was to know about the Egyptians. And then he killed a man, and he had to flee. Now, I doubt that killing the man was part of God's plan. We don't read that anywhere in any record, and certainly not Scripture, but he killed a man. Do you realize what was going on here? Do you see it? He didn't know himself. He was just discovering himself. Friends, listen to me. You've said and done things in life that still bewilders you. Did you know part of it might be because you were discovering who you were and you didn't realize it? People told you you were one thing. They told you you were geared for this. You've been raised in a family of whatever, so this is what you'll do or whatever it is. But something else was drawing you another direction, and you didn't understand what was happening. This happens to a lot of people. And Moses was being drawn to be a Hebrew. He was being drawn to take care of his people. Even then, in killing a man who was abusing one of the Hebrew slaves, he didn't fully get it. He just didn't. He killed him for doing that, and then he tried to hide the body. See, he's trying to cover up the murder because he can't let go of the Egyptians. He don't want the Egyptians to find out. But why did he kill the guy? Because he was picking on one of his brethren, but he didn't get it fully. He didn't understand it already. I'm becoming a what? A defender and protector of God's people. It was already in his heart, but it couldn't come out. And it took 40 years for it to come out. Can you believe that? He had to go to the desert and follow sheep, but it took 40 years. But here's, in the meantime, hope that's not my bones, but anyway. In the meantime, what was happening was this. He gets the education. He knows the Egyptian people. He learns all about them. But there's something inside of him, and it's the God thing, and it's for all of us. Listen to me. Have you ever had that pull? Maybe you're having it now. When you're doing one thing, you're living a life, but there's something else tugging you, pulling you. And it's like, have I ever really discovered the real me, who I really am, my real calling in life? So many people, many Christian people, they know inside there's something else. There's more. There's more. But we got caught up in something. We got a job, or we got an education. We went this way, and we went this way. But inside, something was still leading us to defend the people of God. You get what I'm saying? And we never get true peace, true happiness, because we're doing something and God's blessing, but we're not quite in that straight path, that narrow path that God really, really, really wants us on. And that's what was wrong with this man. He's a prince of Egypt. What else would you, did he have, I mean, he's got what else could you ask for? But his heart, his God-given heart, wouldn't turn loose of this. And he kills. And he goes out running for his life because he committed a murder. He doesn't know that God is directing this whole blasted thing. Listen to me. The stuff you've been through in your life, in your past, a bad marriage, a miserable childhood, whatever it might have been, other sins, your sins, circumstances, successes, failures all put together. Don't you realize that those past experiences were to help you have a present purpose? So many people are caught up on the incident, the happening. And it was bad. It was tragic. Just like it was for him. He murdered him. This is murder. That Egyptian did nothing to Moses. Think about it. I've talked about this before on that part, but not all this other stuff. This is just I've heard you preach on this, but not this way. No, I haven't, because there's just more insights and more insights. And so he murders a man who did nothing to him, but he did it defending a slave who couldn't do anything for himself. But that's beside the point now. He's got murder in his book. So what I'm trying to tell you, what God wants you to know is this. Things have happened to everybody here. And some of you just been so hurt, and you just keep hanging on to that. Or you failed. Or maybe you ruined a marriage. Maybe you ruined a job. Maybe you messed up so many times you're thinking, And you don't realize that God is using all that or wants to if you just let Him. If you just stop looking at it as the tragedy of your life and start looking at it as the experience that God wants to use to help you in your present purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? The Israelites were slaves and they'd suffered great hardships. But you know what it taught them? Listen to me. A tribe of wussies couldn't have gone across the Red Sea and through that desert. It hardened these people. It toughened them. It taught them how to endure great strains. The desert is a harsh place. The wilderness was a miserable environment. And even though they rebelled and they followed they listened to the spies and they did stupid things, but God knew all that in advance. And so He toughened them up. He toughened them, making straw, so they could be a rough and tough people. And listen to me, friends. Listen. It's just like what you've been through in your life. He was doing that to make you into something. He let you fail. He let you do what, yes, He could have intervened. Yes, He could have. And God does not authorize sin. He doesn't tell you. But I'll guarantee you one thing. There's not anything that's happened to anybody in this place that God can't use. And through their hardships and what they endured as slaves, they became a tough tribe, because not only did they have to endure the wilderness, but they had to be able to produce a tribe of warriors to go in and fight the ites. Everybody with me? And He made warriors out of them. And listen to me. It's when we go through the trials and struggles and hardships of our life, the disappointments, people doing junk to us and hurting us, it's making us into one ferocious, able warrior of the living God. Don't you waste a moment of your experiences, no matter how bad they were. And I mentioned to you, my dad, when I lost my dad, it was horrible. I know you know this story, so I hate being redundant, but a lot of you haven't heard it. But just in quick, that 56-year-old experience, I had something I wanted to do for my dad, and it's what he wanted me to do, and he wanted me to put on a pair of airborne wings. That was his thing. That was his dream. I did that for him, and then he dies before he can pin them on. Heartbreaking. That's what he wanted his son to do, and his son loved his dad so much that son said, I'll do it. I'll endure all that crud. And he died. I want to tell you something. You say, Tony, how could that possibly? I'll tell you what he did. I did not know at the time what I know now. But Tony was going to have to stand and counsel families who lost loved ones in those same circumstances, and have to bury those people and have to deal with those people after the death. And God taught me the feelings and what it's like to go through a sudden loss and a tragedy in my life and lose your home and lose everything in your life and have to come back from it. And He did that so I could get up here and tell you that God is for you, not against you, and He's going to take care of you no matter how much your world is falling apart. I can tell you from experience that God's on the scene and God's going to get you through it. That's why I had to endure it. I've lost count of the funerals now over these 30-some-odd years. I don't know how many I've done. And all the counseling with people that are grieved. You say, that prepared me. Because I can look at a person, and I'm not just talking from a book in this Bible, a page in this Bible. I can tell them from my heart, I understand. And they know it. I hear your pain. I know what it's like. Don't you see? This is not about me here. I'm trying to say to you, you can do the same thing from your experiences. That's why you've been through them. That's why Moses had to be raised in Egypt. God wanted him to know how these people thought. He wanted to know, needed to know all about those false gods that they worshiped. Everything. Why? Because unknown to Moses, God was going to send him back. And he needed to know what made those people tick. And I'll tell you something else. He let him spend all those years over there with the Midianites to learn how those people tick. You ever thought about it? because he was not only going to have to confront the Egyptians and know exactly how they thought, how they ate, how they walked, how they slept, how they did everything, but he needed to know how these other people that he needed to lead out into the wilderness, how they thought. And so he had to spend all those years out there. He wasn't just tending sheep. He was learning about that kind of people. Do you see it? That's why you've had to work with people you didn't like. That's why you've had to live in some places you didn't like living. That's why you've had to do what you've had to do. God is preparing you. You have no idea yet what God has for you tomorrow to do. So this man had to learn two different types of people, totally different. Hey, the ones that were slaves and how they, and their Hebrew background, their heritage, he learned that through working with these Midianites and all that heritage through all that. And then he had to know about the Egyptians. Why? Because he was a man that was going to have to deal with two different nations at the same time. You ever thought about it? And so are you. You want to deal with two different nations at the same time? Marry somebody. You will immediately be dealing with another nation. Did you learn that? Everybody, we had that experience? Yeah. You've married, you know, and some of you have thought that you actually married an alien. They're not even from Earth. This family's not from this planet. There really is life out there somewhere, because these people came from there. But do you see it? And it's true. It doesn't take that much to be dealing with two nations at the same time. But this man had to do it. And you think about it, we've all done it. And he made him versatile. So anyway, he had to go confront the Egyptians, and he had to use what he, you know, all of these experiences he was going to need in his life. Oh, it was preparation for another time. So he learned the Egyptians, and he learned their mindset and their strengths and weaknesses. He also learned it about the Hebrew people. You know what they all learned? Most of all, they learn to overcome. Does the Bible teach us to be overcomers? Isn't that what it's, and that's a big part of the push to overcome? Can I ask you a question? This question hit me so hard, and I made a little note to put a little star by it to ask you the same question that came into my heart. How in the blazes can you be an overcomer if you don't have something to overcome? And that's why we have these challenges in our life. I can't learn to be an overcomer unless I have something to overcome. And that whole thrust of this in this message just suddenly hit me. Son, that's why you run into so many things. Jesus wants you to be an overcomer. You got to have something to overcome. So that means there's adversity. There's opposition. There's just disappointments and there's struggles. And that's what makes you an overcomer. Every single one of us. I hope this will give you some consolation, some peace in your heart about some things you've had to go through. He's made you an overcomer, and he's still making you one, a tougher one, a stronger one. You look at this whole history here, and that's exactly what he does with us all. Everything you've been through is teaching you how to overcome. Just don't focus on the event. Focus on God. Well, let me give you this other point. We need to move on, close this up. First point was past experiences have present purpose. Everyone here is a combat veteran. Did you know that? I was thinking about this, you know, and I was thinking about things I've seen and done, had to deal with. We talk about the combat veterans, and they come back from all over, way back from, you know, from our remembrance in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan, but there's been Somalia and so many other places that we don't really think about. But the point being is this. We think about the combat veterans who've seen all of the fighting, ambushes, the gore. I want to say something to you. Everybody in this room is a combat veteran. Did you know that? We're in spiritual warfare every day of our lives. And every one of us have been ambushed. There's not a person in this room that hasn't been ambushed. There's not a person in this room that hasn't had a landmine go off. Follow me? There's not a person in this room that doesn't have an emotional bullet wound. Everybody in here has seen combat. You don't even realize it. You've seen people die. You've seen tragedy. Most of us have seen more than the bloodshed than we ever want to see. And it's not on the battlefield, it's on this battlefield. Not on a combat military field, Christian battlefield. Haven't we? We've seen broken bodies, broken lives, busted up homes. We've seen people mangled and hurt just like you would out there in Afghanistan. Anywhere else. The message God's trying to get to you is He's let you go through the experiences and He's helped you become a hardened combat veteran because He's got something for you to do. There is a war for us to fight. We're in the middle of a great and tremendous spiritual warfare right now, all around us. This country is in a war. And Christians, we're in the middle of it. And we're the ones, when it comes down to it, we're the ones God's going to use to decide this battle. Believe it or not, you watch. Christianity will decide the outcome of this major civil war in this nation. It will. And the people that call themselves Christians need to start getting a glimpse into their life and say, God has put me through all this stuff. And He doesn't want it wasted. And He's preparing me, my past for my present experience, my past experience for a present purpose. And I want, and I need to give you this other point I'm trying to get to, and I seem to just keep going and going. But don't stay in the past. Don't stay in the past. Listen to me. Because sooner or later, listen to me. Sooner or later, we're all going to stand on holy ground. For every one of you, hear this. Sooner or later, you're going to stand on holy ground. And God's going to speak to you. And He's going to reveal to you why you've been through all this stuff. And He's going to show you, I have a ministry for you. I have a battle for you to fight. I've been training you. It's not just for you to be here and exist. Listen to me, every one of you. Listen to what God's telling you. God did not put you here just to have a job, make a living, and get by. God put you here to be a spiritual warrior. And He is using your past experiences for a present purpose. Nothing's wasted. And sooner or later, you're going to find yourself looking at a burning bush of whatever that may be for you. And you're going to find yourself on holy ground with a holy God saying, I put you here for a holy purpose. And you're going to have to do it. Whatever it is. Your holy purpose may be somebody next door, down the road. I don't know what your holy purpose is, but I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have to take a stand, and there'll come a time, or there are several times, when God's going to let that bush burn and say to you, hey, I've been preparing you. I've kept you here on this earth, and it wasn't just for fun. It was for purpose. And sooner or later, you're going to be on holy ground, and that may be right here in this service. That may be in your vehicle. That may be at your house, in your front yard, or out in the field somewhere, or at a park, or at a restaurant. You can be find yourself suddenly on holy ground, just there, just like Moses, walking along saying, nothing holy about this place. And all of a sudden, God's saying, you want to bet? Because where God is, it's holy. And He's in you, and Christ in you, your hope of glory. Do you see this? What did God say we were? We're the salt and the light. We're the answer and the hope. Listen to me. That's why so much of this, whether you see it or not, so much of what's going on, don't look at the surface, look at what's underneath. And you know where it's aimed? It's aimed at Christian people. It's aimed at God. This is not a rebellion against the Constitution. It's not a rebellion against a personage in office. It's a rebellion against God. Who will be God? A philosophy? A system? Man? Woman? or will God be allowed to be God? Think about it. Now I want to tell you what you are. Besides the salt and the light, I'm closing. I really am. Now that was a joke, wasn't it? Okay, oh, I'm sorry about that. Thank you for reminding me. Here's what you are. Don't you forget. And I really want you to, God, you just wrap this up with this. Don't you forget, besides the salt and the light, you are a son and you're a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you forget it. We get so earth-focused, we forget that we don't belong here. When you ask Jesus in your heart, you become a resident of heaven. And now you have a ministry and a service here, but that's your home. That's your home. Live here and you give it your best shot, but do it as a son or daughter of the King. Quit walking around with your head hanging down and said, oh me, oh me, oh my, I sinned, they sinned, this happened. Or what are we going to do about these riots? Or what are we going to do about... You're not going to have to do anything until God tells you, but when He speaks to you on holy ground, you do it. And what do you do in the meantime? You keep tending the sheep God puts you over. That's your family, that's your friends, that's whoever God, wherever you are. You keep doing what God told you to do, and God will speak to you one day, and it may be today, maybe tomorrow, the next day, but God's going to do it, and He's calling. And I'm going to tell you right now, friends, there's a lot of bushes starting to burn. And there's a lot of people God's speaking to. And He's calling us out. And you're a son and daughter of the King of Kings. You have a home in the heavenly kingdom. Your body is God's temple. And you're a real person in a real world that's a sinful world. But you have a real God and a real power. And you have authority over demons. You can cast them out in Jesus' name. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. Listen to me. God's made you into a spiritual warrior. And you take up your armor that talks about in Ephesians and get after it and be who He called you to be and do what He called you to do. Because listen to me, people need leadership. They need bold and courageous Christians who are not afraid to speak the truth and who are not afraid to live the truth. And let me tell you something else that all of us need from each other. We need each other not only to be bold and courageous, but we need each other to be honest and open and not afraid to say, forgive me, I have sinned. Not afraid to say, I am sorry. You know a true Christian, not from what they say, but from how they live. And I've had people say, Tony, I just can't go out there and say that I really sinned, I blew it. I say, yes, you can. You don't know how much people are going to love you and respect you as a Christian when you show them how real you are by saying, I was human. I said that word. I got mad in front of all of you, and I asked forgiveness. They'll hold you up in esteem. You'll grow up and be a spiritual giant in front of them. Why? Because your Christianity really showed itself. Don't you see it? It's not in playing the religious game. It's being filled with the Spirit and letting people know that no matter how close to God I am, I'm still human and I'm still fallible. And when I am, I'll just admit it. So the best thing you can ever do for anybody and for yourself when you blow it is just say, I just blew it. Forgive me, folks. I shouldn't have said that. I sure wanted to say something this morning. There was a guy who made me so mad on I-10. He was a little Hyundai what? What was that? Hyundai something. One of those little bitty squatty body things. He cuts in there. And he's got little bicycle tires on that thing, right? You know, if you have one, you know what I'm talking about. And they're working on that highway out there, so he hit those little grooves and his little car just... You know why? Now here's Tony. That guy's going too fast. I wonder how fast he's going. Here's the Tony mindset. I'll just catch up to him and I'll see how fast he's going. That's what I did. So I'm trying to catch the guy. I hit 90 and I can't catch him. And I'm mad. I got mad because I couldn't catch him. I just wanted to look at him, and I wanted to, with my eyes, look over in his window and go, imbecile. And I was saying, he's risking my life. He's risking everybody's life on this highway. I'm going 90 trying to catch him, but he's risking everybody's life on this highway. I just wanted to glare at him and let him know that I'm a loving pastor going to bring the Word of God to the people. There. You say, is this your confession? Sure it is. That's why I tell you these things. It's funny, but also, I need always to remind myself and remind you that no matter how hard I try, I'm still human. It also lets you see that God can use a most fallible man to bring His Word, which means He can use the most fallible, incomplete woman, man, young person in here to bring His Word, to witness, to do whatever He wants you to do. You're not perfect, and God's not expecting you to be perfect. He wants you to strive for it, but He knows you're not. And I've always seen, I mean, Moses is a murderer, and he does all this stuff, but God uses imperfect people to do such perfect things. Isn't it amazing? So whatever you've been through, use it to help others. Wherever you've sinned and fallen short, use it to help others. Whatever you've been through, use it to help others. I want to say this, and this is the last closing statement. Their world may be falling apart. Our world is just beginning. My world is built with a river of gold and the tree of life and the holy God and the holy angels. That's my world. My world isn't falling apart. My world's fine. This earth and everything in it is going to go away. But my world, which is your world as a Christian, is just good. It's great. It's fine. And my God knows what He's doing. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And we're His children. And it doesn't get any better than that. So get out there and get with it. Let's pray. We thank You, God, for Your Word and the power of it. We thank You for the strength. We thank You that we can go all the way back to the book of Exodus and just mine out all these, just pull out all these wonderful gems, these insights, this understanding of how You prepare us and what You do. And everybody suffered, and everybody paid a price, but everybody won. Even Moses' mother won. She gave up her child only to get him back. Everybody won. We've suffered loss. We've gone through everything imaginable, and we've seen so much. And through the TV, we've seen more than we should ever see, but we've seen it. We've been there. We've all been prepared. God, now is the time, and I ask You to work in our hearts. I pray the blood of Jesus over us all and fill our hearts to overflowing and show us our place. We're to use these past experiences for present purpose. And God, let the bush burn brightly for all of us. And let us all realize that we're all on holy ground. And a holy God lives within us. And thank You, God, that You can put up with us and use us and use us to be a blessing to You and to Your people. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's take the Lord's Supper together.